Welcome to the Torati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hanalea Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Ches, the 8th Perek. In this Perek, we are going to see wars that David HaMelech is going to fight. We're not going to go into the details, but the point is that the money from these wars will go to prepare for the Beis HaMikdash. David understands from the last Perek that the reason he's not going to build the Beis HaMikdash is because he's going to be involved in the wars. And he says, therefore, if this is my tafkid, if this is my job, I'm going to fight the wars now, make sure that any enemies who used to fight against us are subjugated now, so that by the time my son is ready to build the Beis HaMikdash, there is total peace. He is going to be victorious, but it's a very difficult time. All the enemies coming up together, war after war. Perek Samach in Tehillim was written at this time. Elekim, Zinachtanu, Paratztanu, you've abandoned us. They have come in. They have breached our walls. They are all here together, and they are fighting against us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us, save us. I have to say that as I was preparing this perek and as I'm recording it, it resonated with me. It resonates with all of us. Eis tzara hi li Yaakov. We are in a very difficult time where it feels like zinachtanu, paratztanu, that they're coming up against us. It's from all over in Eretz Yisrael, all over the world. We are feeling abandoned and alone, and we daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us, save us. In Pasuk Aleph, it says that he takes away the Meseg Ha'ama. Literally, this is an ox goad. It's what the driver uses to get the oxen to do what he wants. And in Divrei Hayamim, it explains that he took away the city of Gaza. Gaza is a major city in Gaza, the Plishtim. And by taking away the Meseg Ha'ama, what it means is that by taking away the city of Gaza, they've lost their direction, they've lost their leadership, they've lost their ability to rule. There's an interesting medrash that there was a bris, a covenant made by Yitzchak with the Plishtim. That this covenant has long been broken because the Plishtim were the ones who broke the peace treaty, and many, many generations have passed. But the Plishtim kept a piece, something symbolic from this treaty, and that was the Meseg Ha'ama that David took away from them. It's so interesting to me, and we'll see this over and over, that the Goyim, they gave credence to these peace treaties. They kind of relied on them. They knew who the Avos were, and they held on to the words that their forefathers, the covenants that their forefathers had made with our forefathers, and it was important to them. And although, again, the treaty has long been broken by the Plishtim, David took away the Meseg Ha'ama because he didn't want there to be a Chil Hashem here that they could point to it and say that there was a peace treaty. It's not clear what happened to the king of Gaz, Achish Melech Gaz. In Sefer Melachim, it does talk about a king who was left alive in Gaz, which tells us that David allowed some leadership to remain, to survive, as a sign of gratitude, because when David had been running away from Shaul, Achish gave him haven in his house, in his home. And therefore, he allowed Achish, or some leadership, to stay alive out of gratitude. Very different treatment to the Moavim in Pasuk Beis. They were given a very cruel punishment. In Perek Chaf Beis, in Shmuel Aleph, we see David leaving his family with Moav when he's running away from Shaul. However, instead of protecting his family, they killed them all, except for one brother who ran away, and Nachash HaAmoni kept him alive. He's going to kill two-thirds of the Moavi captives now, either by Goral, either by picking a lottery, or if we understand the Pasuk literally, by lying them down and counting out two out of three rope measures and killing the two. Really, he told them, you're all dead, but I'm going to allow a third of you to stay alive. David came from Moab, and that's why he had left his family there, because he thought that they would treat him well. David's great-grandmother, Ruth, was a Moabite convert, and he thought that they would take care of him and his family, and they did not. And he treated them with the cruelty that they deserved for the way that they treated him. But really, Chazal say, and the Zohar says this also, that this punishment that was coming to Moav was a punishment that they deserved from way back in the Midbar. In the Midbar, the Moavim hired Bilam to curse the Jews. And now, Bilam was not successful in cursing the Jews. Bilam came up with other terrible ideas, which which had a terrible impact on the Jewish nation. But really, Moab deserved punishment back then. They also did not come out to bring them bread and water. They didn't let they acted towards us in a terrible way. And really, this punishment has been coming to them for many generations. But Hashem said, I need to keep the Moab nation alive, meanwhile, because I need Rus to be born, because I need David to be born, because I need Mashiach to be born. So they were kept alive b'chesed for all these years. But really, this punishment is not just because they were enemies of the nation, of the Jewish nation currently, and not only, although they were, not only because of what they did to David's family, that too, but there's a historical debt that has to be paid as well. In Pasuk Gimel, he turns his attention to Aram, the Syrians. Hadar Ezer is trying to push out his boundaries into Nahar Pras, and David is going to fight the Aramim. This is a private war of David, which means it's not a milchemes mitzvah, because it's not part of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael that were promised to be given to us at this time, meaning ultimately it will be, but right now, not. It goes to the Nahar Pras, which is mentioned in Brisbane Hapsarim as one day belonging to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, but not right now. But in this war, it says, Vayilkoid David Mimenu, David captures from him a tremendous amount of horsemen and horses and chariots. And we see that David, Vayaker David, as Kol Harechav in Pasuk Dalet, David hamstrings the horses, which means that he cuts the Achilles tendon of the animals. Why? And it says that he leaves for himself, Vayoser Mimenu Mea Rechav, and he leaves for himself just 100 chariots. There's a specific mitzvah, it's really given to all of us, it's something we all have to keep in mind, but it's specifically given to kings. You're not allowed to have too much. You're not allowed to have too much money. You're not allowed to have too many wives. You're not allowed to have too many horses. This is to combat the three cardinal character traits, negative character traits that we are constantly struggling against. Kina, taiva, kavod, jealousy, lust, and honor. If you have too much money, it's going to cause too much jealousy. If you're going to have too many wives, it's going to cause taiva, lust. And if you have too many horses, it's going to cause kavod. And the Torah tells the king, don't have too many. So David has a problem. He has all these horses. What's he meant to do with them? He doesn't want to release them, because then they're going to be used against him in further wars. He also doesn't want to keep them, because he's not allowed to keep them. So what he does is he makes it impossible for them to be used in battle anymore. And he leaves for himself 100, because you're allowed to keep what you need, which he does. Pasuk Vav, Vayesha Hashem es David b'chol hasher halach. And Hashem saves David with everything that he does. He is not only victorious against his enemies, he brings back a lot of gold and brass and lots of money back to Eretz Yisrael. Me Aram, umi Moav, umi Bnei Amon, umi Plishtim, umi Amalek, umi Shal Hadadezer ben Rechav, Melech Tova, from all these nations, he's bringing back a tremendous amount of wealth, which is, again, the point of it, to collect enough money for the eventual building of the Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting that the money ultimately wasn't used for that, because Shlomo was scared that if one day the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, which it will, the nations shouldn't be able to say that it's their gods taking revenge for having had the money taken from them. And that's why Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You see, because that wall, that gold was taken from Moab, so that the Moabites shouldn't be able to say it was our gods that was fighting against the Jewish nation. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash wasn't killed. So the money's going to be used for something else. But at this point, David is collecting the money to build the Beis HaMikdash. Vayas David Shame Beshuvay Mehakoise Saram Begemelach Shmoina Asar Elef. There's a battle here that David is going to kill 18,000 people from Aram in Gemelach, and he makes for himself a name. Rashi says that when Bayamsuf it says Vayas Lachashem Kahirim Hazabar Hashem, what it means is that the people who died in Yamsuf were buried, and David here buries the dead, and he sets an example which has been followed throughout all generations, that the Jews treat their captives, and if people are killed in battle or even captured or prisoners, treat them with dignity. And this is something that Jews excel in, that we are known for, that you treat with dignity. even though they are our enemies. David HaMelech made sure that the dead people, that the people who were killed in the battle, the non-Jews who were killed in the battle, were buried. Vayimlech David al kol Yisrael, vayhi David oiseh mishpat utztaka l'chol amai. And David serves on Klal Yisrael, all Klal Yisrael, and he does mishpat utztaka, justice and charity, l'chol amai, for all of his people, even though it's only recently that the other tribes come under him. He's treating them all. They all get the same treatment. And for there to be mishpat utztaka, the leadership comes from the top. There's a bit of a question here, because mishpat means justice and tzedakah means charity. And how does one person do both? Meaning, if a person goes to Beis Din, so there's either going to be justice or charity. So from here, some of the Tanaim learn that the best way to resolve a court case in Beis Din is by creating a compromise, and therefore there can be mishpat and tzedakah at the same time. However, other Tanaim disagree, and they say, no, exactly the opposite. The way that David would do it is there would be justice, and it would be pure justice. Where does the tzedakah come in? If somebody is too poor to pay the resolution of the court case, David would give him money. He would give him tzedakah, and then he would be able to pay. Perhaps people would figure this out and make up a plot to pretend to have an argument in order to get money out of David. And therefore David davens in Tehillim. He says, Asisi mishpat utzedek, I did justice and I did charity. Al tanicheni la'ishkai. Don't make me vulnerable to people who would take advantage of me because they know that I do tzedakah. There is another point, though, interesting and important. By doing mishpat, it is a tzedakah. How so? The one who is owed the money gets the mishpat done, he gets the justice, and the tzedakah, the kindness, is being done to the person who had money in his hand that didn't belong to him, so that he would not end up in a situation where he might die and have somebody else's property. This is the biggest tzedakah, this is the biggest charity, this is the biggest kindness. Sometimes a person approaches a din Torah hoping I'm going to win the case and comes up with all kinds of ways to be able to win, but the way to look at it is let mishpat be done, let justice be done, because this is the ultimate kindness for the Baal Din, for the person who has money that he really shouldn't have. We end the parak with a list of other jobs and those who did them. Yoav ben Tsruya al Hatzava. Yoav ben Tsruya is on the army. Yehoshaphat ben Achilut is the masker, is the secretary. It's the combined effort of David and Yoav that allows it to work. And also such a current and important message from Chazal back in 1500, more than 1500 years ago, Sanhedrin Mentes, Amar Rav Ava Bar Kahana. Rav Ava Bar Kahana says, Il Male David, without David, that was teaching and learning and propagating Torah, Lo Asa Yoav Melchama, Yoav would not have been able to fight his battles. Il Male Yoav, and without Yoav, who was fighting the battles, Lo Asak David B'Tayra, David would not have been able to learn Torah. There's a connection between Limud Torah and the ability to be successful in battle. And without David, that was learning Torah and teaching Torah and making sure that Torah was spread through the land, Yoav would not have been able to be successful in his battle. And by Yoav being successful in his battle and creating the peace in Eretz Yisrael and allowing the Yidden to sit and learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, there wouldn't have been the Torah in Eretz Yisrael without Yoav, who was doing the battles. And of course, we can learn Torah anywhere. That's true. But there's a special schus and ability to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machim. It's the atmosphere in Eretz Yisrael. Avira is badly translated as atmosphere. There's something much, much more than that, much deeper than that. But it's the being, the Torah, there's no Torah like the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. And it was Yoav fighting the battles that allowed the Jews to sit and learn peacefully in Eretz Yisrael. Interesting that the name of the secretary is written down for us. For the rest of all of our generations, we know who the secretary was. Secretaries do not usually get the credit for the credit that they deserve for keeping the order and making sure that that was maintained. And it's possible that he was the secretary who was in charge of the chesed branch of the government, making sure that it was taken care of in a fair and proper way. And then we have the Kohanim. It's interesting that there's two types of Kohanim written here. Tzadok ben Achitub and Achimelech ben Avyasar were Kohanim. And they were Kohanim who were the children from the tribe of Levi, Usraya Sefer. And then Uvneyahu ben Yoyada v'Akresi v'Aplesu Uvnei David are also called Kohanim. This is for two reasons. Number one is that we're in a time of bamais, which means that anyone can sacrifice anywhere, that people, that you didn't need a coin to sacrifice in those days. The Mishkan wasn't in Shiloh, and therefore bamais were allowed at this time until the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. We'll see. And then they are not allowed anymore. But also, even though we weren't always successful in making sure that that happened, but also Kohanim have a dual role. Kohanim are the ones who build the who sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash, and that was the Tzadok and the Achimelech type of Kohanim. But Kohanim are also responsible for teaching Torah and spreading the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is something that anybody can do. And when it talks about B'nai Yehu and the Kresi and Plesi and B'nai David Kohanim, so it separates them to tell us that they were different type of Kohanim. We shouldn't understand that the children of David were actually Kohanim, but they filled some of the roles that Kohanim filled as well. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Allah HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker, Allah HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.